Welcome back to the deep dive. So let's talk about work today. You know, you're probably buried under emails, Slack, meeting notes, just information overload.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Grounding in it sometimes.
And yet somehow amidst all that noise, it feels like we're often still really unclear about what we're actually supposed to do.
That's the paradox, isn't it? So much communication, so little clarity.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into Leo Bottari's work. He makes this really powerful point. In today's workplace, clarity isn't just a nice to have, like a soft skill. He argues it's maybe the biggest competitive advantage a leader can actually build.
It's fundamental.
Yeah, and his core idea, it's startlingly simple when you think about it. Clarity constantly gets sacrificed. Like, we trade it for speed, right? Just get it done.
Or worse, we just assume. We assume everyone's on the same page, that they understand what we mean.
Yeah.
Untested assumptions.
Right. And the result, well, it's confusion, it's stress, endless rework. Performance just gets dragged down.
Constantly fixing things that weren't clear up front.
So our mission today is to walk you through these ideas and really make the case that clarity, it's essential. It's maybe the best tool a leader has to fix that confusion, that stress, and the performance issues kind of all at once.
And if you look at the cost angle,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the price of ambiguity is just staggering. It's not just about, you know, project delays, though that happens.
Sure.
It actually eats away at employee trust. It impacts well-being. What Bottari argues is that good leaders don't just talk at people. They communicate clearly.
Right.
And that clear communication sets the foundation, not just for getting stuff done, but for a resilient, human-centered culture, mm-hmm. you know, where psychological safety is actually the norm, not the exception.
Okay, so let's unpack that. Where does he start? He ties this clear communication directly to something he calls peer innovation.
Mm.
Now, okay, that sounds a little bit like corporate jargon, maybe.
That can sound that way initially, yeah.
But the sources really argue it's like the engine of collective success. So before we get the three pillars, what is peer innovation, basically?
So peer innovation, at its heart, is about intentionally building a team environment where peers, well, they actively support each other, but they also challenge each other.
Okay.
And they hold each other accountable for, you know, high performance. It's really about how groups learn and improve together from the inside out.
Right. So it's not just top-down directives.
Exactly. And the core idea is you just cannot have a high-performing peer group, this peer innovation engine, without clarity acting as the, like, the grease in the gears that binds it all together.
That makes total sense. Success isn't just the boss telling people what to do. It hinges on how the people actually doing the work interact. And clarity, you're saying, links directly to three key dimensions in this framework.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is how foundational clarity is to all three. Let's start with the first one, psychological safety.
Okay.
Think about it. You walk into a meeting. You don't know the agenda. You're not sure what your role is or what kind of decision needs to be made.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable. Instantly on edge.
Right. Your threat level goes up. But when expectations, priorities, even processes are clear, team members feel much, much safer. They're more willing to contribute ideas, ask maybe uncomfortable questions.
Or even admit they made a mistake without fearing the worst.
Exactly. Operate without that constant fear of messing up visibly. Ambiguity, on the other hand, it just breeds hesitation. Silence. People hold back.
Yeah, if I don't know the rules of the game, why would I risk playing full out and that hesitation? Well, that kills productivity, which is the second dimension.
Directly.
Think about the sheer waste involved when roles are fuzzy. The sources talk about teams burning hours in meetings just trying to decode badly written instructions.
Or correcting mistakes because three different people thought they were responsible for the same thing.
Yeah.
Or nobody was.
Right. So clear goals, clear roles, clear processes. It means you're not wasting time and energy just interpreting. You're actually executing.
And that focus on execution leads straight into the third dimension, which is accountability. This is critical. Well, accountability really only works. It only thrives when people understand a few key things. What is expected of them, how their success is going to be measured. And this is really crucial, why their work actually matters to the bigger picture.
It's the purpose piece again.
Exactly. And the sources make a really important distinction here. Without clarity, accountability just feels random, arbitrary.
Ah, okay. That's a huge takeaway right there. If the expectations are vague or they keep changing, accountability feels like, what did the source say? Punishment without guidance.
That's the phrase. Punishment without guidance. Think about it, if you don't know what the target is, getting blamed for missing it.
Yeah.
That doesn't build trust or encourage effort.
No, it destroys trust. It makes people resentful, maybe even fearful.
Precisely. But when you connect all three, that psychological safety, the efficient workflow from productivity, and fair, clear expectations for accountability,
you get something positive.
You get what the source calls a virtuous cycle. People feel safer, so they contribute more, they work efficiently because they're aligned, and they naturally start holding themselves and each other to higher standards.
Why?
Because those standards are clear, they're visible, and everyone understands them. It becomes self-reinforcing.
Okay, so clarity is the bedrock for high performance through this peer innovation idea. Let's pivot slightly then. If it's so important, we need to talk about the flip side, that the human cost when clarity is missing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the link between clarity or the lack of it and employee well-being seems really direct, profound even. We talk a lot about workplace stress.
All the time, burnout culture.
But do we trace it back to maybe its simplest source? Just chronic uncertainty.
It's often the silent killer, isn't it? When leaders give vague feedback, you know, needs improvement, but no specifics.
Where priorities shift constantly, the dreaded flavor of the month initiative.
Right. Employees are just stuck in this constant state of second guessing. They're burning mental energy, worrying. Am I doing the right thing? Is this what they wanted? Did that Slack message mean I should drop everything else?
That sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting. Over time, that constant questioning, that erosion of confidence, and just the sheer cognitive load of dealing with uncertainty, it takes a real measurable toll. Mental health, even physical health, suffers.
So what's the antidote? What does clarity offer here?
Structure, stability,
yeah,
predictability in a good way. Clarity cuts down anxiety because it removes so much of the guesswork.
Okay.
When people understand the bigger goals, they know what's expected day to day, and they know where to go if they hit a snag. That certainty lets them stop worrying about the work and actually focus on the work itself.
They can put their energy into creating value, not navigating internal politics or trying to read tea leaves.
Exactly. Energy goes towards progress, not just coping.
Okay, so the benefits are huge. Better performance, healthier, less stressed employees. Seems like a no-brainer. So why does clarity fail so often? Ah, the million-dollar question.
The sources point to four really common barriers in organizations that undermine clarity, even when leaders think they're being clear.
Yeah, and the first one is maybe the trickiest. Assumptions.
How so?
It's when leaders assume that what's crystal clear in their head, because maybe they've been thinking about a strategy for weeks or months.
They assume it's automatically obvious to everyone else?
Exactly. They skip the context, they forget the background, they assume shared understanding that just isn't there, and boom, the message fails before it's even fully delivered.
And that assumption problem probably gets worse with the second barrier, overload.
Oh, definitely. We are just drowning in information, aren't we?
Emails, chats, meetings, reports.
So when leaders just spray information everywhere too much, too fast, across too many different channels, the important stuff, the actual signal, gets completely buried.
Lost in the noise.
Totally. Nobody can prioritize effectively when everything seems urgent or important. Clarity just evaporates in the flood.
Which, I guess, can lead to the third barrier, inconsistency. Mm-hmm. This happens when employees get mixed messages, maybe from different leaders or different levels of the organization.
Give me an example.
Okay, say your direct manager is hammering cost-cutting measures, save every penny.
Right.
But then the CEO or the division head is all about rapid expansion, innovation, spending money to grow market share.
So employees are caught in the middle.
Completely. They become paralyzed. Which direction is real? Which one do I follow? It leads to confusion, inaction. And that confusion just spreads.
And the final barrier sounds simple, but maybe it's overlooked. Lack of feedback loops.
It's amazing how often this happens. It's often the easiest one to fix, theoretically.
What does it mean here?
It just means there's no structured way for employees to ask clarifying questions or to confirm their understanding without feeling stupid or like they weren't paying attention.
So they stay quiet even if they're unsure.
Exactly. They don't want to look bad. So the initial small misunderstanding just festers. It persists, and then it compounds into much bigger, way more expensive problems down the road.
Wow. Okay, so those barriers, assumptions, overload, inconsistency, no feedback, they're not trivial. They actively undermine performance and trust.
They are incredibly expensive. They drain cognitive energy. They damage morale. And they directly impact the bottom line.
Right. So this brings us to the practical side. How do we fix it? How do leaders cultivate what the source calls a clarity advantage?
Yeah, let's get into the how-tos. The source gives some really good thought starters. Mm-hmm. Number one is fundamental. State the why, not just the what.
Explain that. It sounds simple.
It is simple but powerful. This is where true leadership differs from just, you know, micromanaging tasks. Clarity isn't about dictating every single tiny step someone takes.
Okay.
It's about making sure people understand the purpose behind the work, mm-hmm. the context. Why does this matter?
So if I ask someone to, say, build a new software feature.
You need to tell them why. Is the goal to increase customer retention? Is it to fix a critical bug? Is it for legal compliance? Because the why completely changes how they might approach it, what they prioritize, what done looks like.
Got it. Providing that context empowers them to make better decisions when unexpected things pop up.
Exactly. It drives real engagement, not just compliance.
Okay. That connects really nicely to the second practice, which is simplify the message.
Yes. Ruthless simplification.
The source says great communicators constantly ask themselves this one key question. If my team remembers only one thing from this meeting or this email, what absolutely must it be?
Mm-hmm. You have to distill. Cut through the complexity until you get to the absolute core message. What's the headline?
And practice three builds on that. Use channels wisely.
Right. Don't just rely on one method, especially for big stuff. If something's really critical, like a major strategy shift or a reorg.
A single dense email probably won't cut it.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
You need to reinforce that key message. Use multiple channels intentionally. Maybe a town hall meeting followed by clear written documentation, maybe a short video summary, team huddles.
Meeting people where they are, basically, and ensuring it sinks in.
Precisely. Repetition and reinforcement across different modes.
Okay, then we get to fixing that feedback barrier. Practice four, create structured feedback loops.
This needs to be deliberate. Leaders have to actively build in moments for clarification. Encourage paraphrasing. Normalize saying things like...
Okay, let me just play that back to make sure I've got it right.
Yes. Make that a required step, almost. Make it safe, expected. The source even suggests using a specific, powerful question.
Which is?
Instead of asking any questions, which often gets silence,
right.
Ask, what are you taking away from this conversation?
Ah, that shifts the focus.
Completely. It puts the onus on the receiver to process and articulate their understanding rather than on the sender, assuming they were clear. It forces clarity to the surface.
That's a great actionable tip. And the final practice, number five, model clarity.
This one's huge. Leaders set the tone for the entire organization.
Lead by example.
Absolutely. If the people at the top, the execs, the directors, if their communication is vague, inconsistent, if they're always moving the goalposts.
That confusion just trickles down, doesn't it?
Yeah. It cascades. So precision, consistency, context, openness. These have to be demonstrated consistently, starting right at the very top. It becomes the cultural standard.
Okay, speaking of openness and culture, you mentioned peer influence earlier. Let's dig into that a bit more. You said it's often underutilized.
Massively underutilized.
Yeah.
We're talking about leveraging internal teams, maybe cross-functional working groups, or even external trusted peer advisory groups.
But why are peers so important for leaders' clarity? Isn't it the leader's job to be clear in the first place?
The leader absolutely holds the initial responsibility, yes. But peers... they provide the essential reality check. They act as invaluable mirrors and sounding boards.
How does that work in practice?
Well, imagine a leader is about to roll out a new initiative. Before going wide, they could present their plan and their messaging to a small group of trusted peers, maybe fellow department heads, and ask honestly, what's unclear here? Where are the potential misunderstandings? What holes do you see in this? That peer group can often give frank feedback that, let's be honest, a direct report might hesitate to give.
Ah, I see. So peers help refine the message before it goes out and potentially causes confusion or damage.
Exactly. It's like beta testing your communication.
And once the message is out there, how does peer influence help maintain clarity day to day?
It drives accountability sideways across the organization. Teams that build in peer accountability around clarity tend to break down silos faster.
How?
Because they rely on each other to confirm understanding. If someone on the marketing team isn't sure what a deliverable from engineering really means, they feel empowered to ask their peer directly for clarification.
Instead of letting it fester or escalating it up the chain unnecessarily.
Right. It becomes normal to ask, hey, can we just sync up for 5 minutes to make sure we're aligned on this? It fosters a culture where checking for understanding is the norm, which just lowers friction everywhere.
Okay, so bringing this all together then, for you listening right now, what's the big takeaway? It feels like the conclusion is pretty stark. clarity isn't just a communication tactic you delegate.
Not at all. It's a core leadership responsibility. It's strategic. It's fundamental.
And when a leader truly prioritizes it.
When they prioritize clarity, they send a powerful signal.
Hmm?
They signal respect. Respect for their employees' time, for their intelligence, their cognitive energy, and ultimately, their well-being.
They recognize that confusion isn't just annoying.
It's incredibly costly. Financially, yes, rework, missed deadlines, lost opportunities. But also humanly, the stress, the burnout, the erosion of trust, clarity combats all of that.
And that final thought from the source really drives home the human side. It says clarity inspires confidence, it lowers that background anxiety that plagues so many workplaces,
mm-hmm.
and it allows accountability and productivity to actually thrive, but without crushing the individual spirit. It ends with this really simple, powerful sentiment.
Clarity is kindness.
Yeah, clarity is kindness. That feels like a principle every leader should probably tape to their monitor.
It really is. It's perhaps the ultimate act of leadership generosity in today's complex world. It's the antidote to so much organizational chaos.
So as you think about this deep dive into Botari's ideas, here's a final thought to chew on.
If every instruction, every expectation, every word you use as a leader carries weight, and if unclear, muddled words risk undermining not just the results you want, but also the relationships you need, what's one specific message, maybe one complex instruction or expectation that's causing friction on your team right now that you can simplify today? How could you make it clearer to reduce some of that unnecessary stress, both for them and, frankly, for yourself?